Of course, my mouse died as we're live.
Dude.
Screw the intro.
We have enough technical difficulties without you causing the sum of the monument. I'm John.
And I'm Random Randy Savage.
Yes, it's been an evening already, folks. JD could not make it again this week. He's still part of the show. No one worry about that.
He's just going through, he's going through a tough time. We'll let him explain it when he comes.
No, yeah. That's fine. Yeah, give him, he needs space. Yeah.
So Randy is filling in, the gracious Random Randy Savage is filling in for him. So we are very thankful for that. How are you doing, Randy? What is new in the world of Random Randy Savage?
I've been doing the same normal crap, whatever. We just released Any Given Sunday this week with our Patreon actually on the show. I saw the new Dune movie. We're going to have to talk about that later.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, I want to hear about that. That's part two, right?
Part two, yeah.
Yeah, I want to hear about that.
And we're setting up for a con, our Comic-Con that's happening here in May. So we're rolling down the track for that one.
Cool. Sound busy.
Yeah, a little busy.
That's a good thing, right?
Yeah, it's a little, yeah. Just as long as I have enough time to do everything all at once, should be fine.
Yes, because everything.
It keeps you from the thinking about the finality of life and your imminent doom, right? Oh.
It's mostly about avoiding bills and
toothaches.
Well, yeah, sure, whatever.
That is, IRS is another imminent doom. So.
Oh, yeah, I gotta do that.
I've tangled with them, yes. It's
they still want their money, and they're not. I don't care who they send. They're not getting it.
How about you, John? What's new in your world since last week?
Let's see. I've spent a lot of time dealing with financial advisor. Kids, some advice from us decrepit old people. When you can, put money into your 401k, even though 401ks are basically a construct of the corporate overlords so that they don't have to do pensions. But anyway, put as much money as you can in your 401k, and when you can afford one, get a financial advisor. Make sure they're a fiduciary, because that's the most important part. And then plan out your retirement. So unlike me, you're not, after two divorces, trying to scrape together enough for some kind of retirement when you're like 70. There's that.
I don't live that long. Just die.
Work
until you're dead, kids.
Yeah.
Work until you're dead.
That's not a plan, but okay.
But it's the plan.
On top of that, this has been a really tough week for my childhood. My inner child is curled up in a ball in the corner because of Akira Toriyama, which we'll talk about later. And as well, we will also talk about, was it not Funimation? What did I say?
Rooster Teeth,
which is another thing that is not happening. It is stopping happening. It's been a freaking week. By the way, Dave, if you go back in the archives, we interviewed Barbara Dunkelfeld. Right?
Yep.
We interviewed two of the voice actors of Ruby, which was made by Rooster Teeth.
Yes.
After Monty Yom died, we talked to. So yeah, it's just not. I don't know. I'm working my way.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah. Anyway, that's it for me for now. Dave, how are you doing?
I'm okay, kinda. Had an interesting week at work.
It didn't blow up again, right?
Like, no.
When you say you had an interesting time at work, blowing up is the high bar now.
This is
literally
true.
Exploding.
But anyone who has worked for a big company that's owned by another company that's owned by another company.
Oh, yes.
What's with the Jim Cramer show?
A little depressing, right? Okay. I'm just wondering. I'm just like, wow, glad I signed up for this, guys.
We're so glad you came on in an hour's notice.
First off, everyone heard about the cyber attacks in the news.
Yeah.
That was affecting the healthcare companies. One of the companies greatly affected was United Healthcare, who is the main company that owns the company that owns us.
Right, United Healthcare, one of the most evil companies on the planet, actually, besides Monsanto, yes.
No, you work for one of the most evil companies on the planet.
Compared to U.S. Healthcare, we are like singing choirs with angels.
They actually provide a service.
What's that?
They actually provide a service.
U.S. Healthcare, their whole point is to charge you money and then deny your claims when you have cancer. Like, that's not a service.
Terrible.
But yes, they got hit.
They got hit, and then I don't know if you saw the news on Tuesday, but one of the hackers was demanding $22 million to release the data that they had captured, and of course, my company was dumb enough to pay it.
Seriously?
Yeah, it's awesome. Gotta pay that ransomware. I'm sure they'll never come.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I would do more. Like,
oh, wait, Kassan's asking.
What are you doing? We don't do that here.
What, the Jim Cramer show? We don't do that here? Is that
I don't know. Maybe that's what he meant.
All the politics, like life. And
well, yeah, I have to defend my company that much.
Just enough not to get fired.
But then on the heels of that, we find out that, so the company I work for is WellMed. They're moving all of our IT under Optum, which is the company that owns us. And they're like, but it's going to be business as usual. It's going to be business as usual.
And those words have always proven true every time they've been spoken to a bunch of people that have been bought up by another company.
I know I've mentioned this on the show before. My father worked for First Pennsylvania for like nearly 30 years, and they got bought out by Core States. And when they were announcing the merger and everything, they brought everyone in the big meeting room in the building, and they said, oh, everything's going to be fine. They even played Don't Worry, Be Happy. And everyone's singing and us came out. And I think it was 2 weeks later, they're like, yeah, we don't need you guys anymore.
And you're all fine.
Yep.
So needless to say, I'm going to brush up my resume.
That sucks.
Yeah.
For evil.
Hey, I don't work for the evil company. I work for WellMed. There's a difference.
Yeah, true, true. You're just a cog in the machine.
Exactly. Other than that, nothing major. Oh, you know what? Other sad news.
Sad news? Come on.
Some other sad news. My Uncle Frank passed away, and his last request was to have his ashes buried in his favorite beer mug. His last request was to be a Frankenstein. But anyway, there's your inappropriate joke of the week.
Dude, you're supposed to tell jokes that make me blush, not make me groan.
I was being nice. Well, you'll groan when I pick an ad for Colt 45 later.
I know.
So, speaking of things that make you groan, let's do a little social media madness.
Yeah. What are those psychopaths need to talk about?
Just remember, Randy, you had the option of not coming.
You know, I could have just said, you know what? Nah. I'm just going to sit here and do nothing.
I'm going to start
By the way, nice title. I love that. That's perfect.
I'm going to start with James Burton over on Facebook, because he commented on the invite for the show as opposed to the video. He said, the social media madness question of the week, it's the theme for tonight's episode. I forgot to say that. Of course, is Superman still relevant in 2024? And okay, so James Burton answered and he said, yes, but someone like Snyder, I think he meant, but someone like, I don't think he meant the everyone, someone like Snyder dilutes him and he becomes less than what he, to which to aspire to, just the piece of pop culture. Yeah, I don't disagree with that. That's, I think one of the things we're going to talk about a little bit later is what Snyder did to him and why I think that's one of the reasons his movies didn't do well. But we'll get to that.
That was like an assault.
Yes.
Snyder did. No, good. We can get Snyder. Yay.
Hey, Snyder, Zimmerman, I'm all for kicking them.
While you're down?
While they're down.
All right, let's go on over to X, formerly known as Aaron Dark Lord. Zagenthrox did nothing wrong. Said Superman will still be relevant in 3024. All right. I'm not going to disagree with that. Kassan wrote us a dissertation. I think the association of Superman with the tagline of truth, justice, and the American way makes Superman a constricted and obsolete. We are living in a cynical period. No one believes America stands for truth and justice. The tagline is obsolete, making the concept of that Superman obsolete. The Boy Scout model of Superman can be relevant if the struggle to reconcile his ideals against the backdrop of a gray or dark world is brought to the forefront. Superman needs to become a literary story instead of an episodic genre tale that it is now. For John, he needs to be a paladin standing against the dark, fighting against its allure. I don't know why he's
wanted to make it easier for John to understand, I guess.
In Dungeons & Dragons, paladins are some of the...
I got that bit.
Yeah. I didn't think of it that way. And you're the big
when
you guy.
Wait, when you're in a battle with somebody, paladins have your back. When you need to torture somebody for information, Paladin, why don't you go out and ale? You need to go get groceries first. Go outside for a while, because otherwise they're a pain in the arse.
Randy, would you like to read your comment?
I don't even know where it is.
Okay. You said, sure, a lot of folks have just lost the thread of what it means when you're blessed with great power. There is always the fantasy of being Homelander or Injustice Superman, but the best Superman stories are always about how he tries to help without lasering the Great Wall back. Obviously, a reference to Superman 4.
That was perfect. Perfect, succinct. I didn't have to knock John a little bit.
No. You're supposed to knock me. There's supposed to be at least 5 of those per show. It's in my contract. Other than that, and Kassan didn't knock me. He was just putting it in terms I could really easily understand.
Yeah, just sounded like he was talking down to you like a dog and, or whatever.
Kassan's awesome. We like him.
Let's see. Over on YouTube, we have Craig J8240. Superman will always be relevant. Why did he last this long? He's the OG forever, like Superman. I like The Simpsons, sorry.
Because The Simpsons, at some point, Superman is more of a concept than a character now. Mm-hmm. And the concepts are much harder to die than a character. And this concept just happens to be the character itself.
Yeah.
If an ideal, you can't, it's hard to kill.
Daza Wadsworth said, I would say Superman is still relevant because God knows with everything going on in the world right now and where it may be the end of this year, we could really do with someone to see hope in, see good in, and aspire to be.
So we're all going to vote for Superman in the next election, right?
Because
otherwise there is no hope.
Superman!
Yeah.
I think at this point he's the only one worth voting for, but hey.
I think we can
left nut.
So yeah.
it's old and wrinkly too. You could it'll run.
Oh my god.
Sorry. Oh okay.
Oh my goodness.
He's not incorrect.
It's not incorrect. Just it even meets the minimum threshold of age too.
I think you need to put another 10 years for.
No, it needs to be 35. That's all it is.
I know, but.
You need to go back down to the range of.
I think I'm going to write in Random Randy Savage.
We need a 40-year-old president.
Oh, my God.
Omega level nerds, Dave.
What?
The comment. Omega.
Ah, okay. I was on a different screen. Ah, okay.
Oh, okay.
No. It's sad. All these billionaires, none of them are Batman. Ah.
It's just so true.
Hey, Kassan says, I love John. I'm a must trying to fit in some D&D references on this podcast.
Yeah, just keep trying to fit
there's
them
no
in,
content,
man.
You know, like, there's no tone, so I don't know. The way Dave's read it sounded like, okay, Paladin.
And finally, over on the Tiki Talks, Kentos on Twitch said, I think regardless of what sense of relevancy... Yes, I was... I think regardless of what sense of relevancy, yes, he is still relevant. There isn't a lot of superheroes that lose their relevancy, especially someone like Superman. Our good friend Hamlet Ray said, nobody wants a squeaky clean Boy Scout in 2024. Maybe back in 84, but everyone wants the bad boy. To which I replied, my girlfriend wants the good guy.
I was going to say, that sounds more like a problem with the dating pool than the superhero genre.
Literally every other post says, no one night stands, no bad boy. Okay. But then still getting 0 matches. So it's whatever.
I am right there with you, man.
Then stop choosing the dating, the one night stands and the bad boys then. It is.
Yeah.
You guys want Superman? Stop picking Homelander.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, guys. And then finally, Green Space Pizza asked, what do you mean by relevant? Is it his beliefs, ideals, or like the character is still good? And I replied both. So he said, all right, morals, yes. Better than the corruption others have. As a character, yes, but at least reanimate some old cartoons than pump out garbage that it's actually garbage. Okay. Yeah, so now granted, people that are going to respond to this are comic book fans. So, and Superman is the OG, as they said. So I do think people are going to tend to be like, don't put it on a pedestal, fellas. You know what he's talking about.
What if I could find it?
Most people that follow us are going to be comic book fans, and they're going to love Superman, so they're not going to really disparage him. But I think this is the comic, and we'll get into this more, that kind of spurred that whole "is Superman still relevant" conversation that was happening in the last decade. So
this comic was brilliant. That's why we're going to talk about it.
Yeah, it's actually, they made a movie about it, so obviously.
Yeah. All right. Well, on that note, if you would like to know how you can follow us on social media and be part of social media madness, here's our good friend Don to tell you more.
You enjoying the show? Do you want to be part of social media madness? Easy peasy. Head on over to superheroespeak.com. You'll find all the links to social media. You'll find the show uploaded there as well. Comic reviews by Chris. You can even go in the archives and find old by yours truly. Absolutely. So again, that's superheek.com. Make sure and check that out. Make sure to engage on our social media. Speaking of social media, Superhero Speak is part of the podcast network. That podcast network includes great shows like the Pop Prison Power Podcast, Colt 45, Fans on Patrol, the Gorilla Brain Podcast, the So Wizard Podcast, and Super Hero Speak. That's right. You go to the X-Men app, the X app, hashtag GW All Stars, and you will not be disappointed. And you might as well do it before that app is dead. Listen, now it's time to go back to the show, and I'm going to be looking to see if JD makes a comment about sex or doing something to a woman's anatomy to see if John gets flustered or beat red, while at the same time speaking with confidence and zeal when he's talking about Pinkie Pie, Rainbow Dash, and the rest of the My Little to the Show.
I would also like to point out that we actually have one of the largest audiences tonight that we've had in a long time. There are like 51 people currently watching. So welcome everyone who's watching. And I forgot to mention this at the top of the show. There was one really good thing that happened at the beginning of the week. We had 10,000 subscribers over on YouTube.
What?
Oh, for the bots.
For the bots.
You sound like Joey from So Wizard. No. Oh, wait, what's Kasan saying here? Hey, the Oscars are on and no one cares. Yes, they're watching us instead.
Oh, no. All the stuff they normally watch has been preempted.
Us instead.
So what's on the Oscars?
Seriously, the Oscars, with all of the controversy around how they're picking winners these days.
Yeah, I don't want to watch that.
You're not going to get Will Smith slapping anyone this year.
He's right. There's a
fun. I'd tune in if they had Godzilla Minus One eat one of the presenters.
Oh, there you go.
Or if they actually won anything, like they should. But
were they nominated at least for special effects?
I have no idea because I don't.
It's funny because
Matt Webb would get something first.
Used to do episodes based around Oscar picks, but not anymore. No one cares. So. All right. You know what people do care about? They care about ads for funny podcasts. So we're going to take a quick break and be right back with some news.
Some podcasts are like this.
Are there bloopers in there? Funny stuff happens on set all the time.
Do they ever make videos of that?
Yeah, sometimes.
I feel like they should. Yeah. I feel like fans would really like that.
I keep most of my bloopers in my OnlyFans scenes. What I keep in is the banter. Just the kinds of funny things that we say to each other in between positions or whatever. This funny thing happened the other day, actually, where I was Damien Dyski. He was like, "Are you working tomorrow?" And I cracked up laughing because I was like, "Oh, he's about to fuck me so hard.
Oh, like, God!
He's about to rail me."
Okay, that's hot, though.
He just considerate?
Okay.
He's got almost like a dread styled
dick.
Oh. He'll fuck you really hard. But just the way he said it, I thought that's so funny. My answer was, we'll see.
And some parts are like this.
Where are they getting new fish from? You notice this on menus? So now, they mahi-mahi, where's that been? Dude, go read Moby Dick. See how many mahi-mahis they got in that sucker. Is she, bro? I'm somewhere the other day and the guy's like, "Oh, we got line caught barramundi." Dude, I don't give a fuck how you convince that thing to swim over here. I don't care if you poured nicotine in the water for a couple years and slowly got him addicted. And barramundi, I never heard of that. Give me a real fish people have heard of. Catfish. Swedish fish. It's a candy, but everybody's heard of it. Trout. Tuna fish. I'm just sick of some of this fake fish shit. We got butterfish. We got whitefish. What are you talking about? Where'd you get it? You got an email from the Lord and they said, we releasing two new types of fish? Like it's a new shoe?
But only one part you can get in-depth analysis. Like,
when I was younger, this guy was definitely a villain to me. As I'm older now, it's hard to be like, yeah, Hammond, you spent $23 billion making Jurassic Park. You could not spare more money, $1 million a year, for this guy's loyalty. You spent $150,000 just to have these two people show up for a weekend.
Right.
You couldn't spend $1 million.
On one-third of your infrastructure.
On one-third of your infrastructure and data control.
What third? The only reason he's a villain because he's sloppy. It's Newman. Like, they'll never feel bad for him. That's what they did.
That's what they did.
If it was anybody else, if it was Idris Elba or Matthew McConaughey.
Fuck, if it had been Michael Cera, I'd have still been... I'd have been like...
You are now listening to Cult 45.
This is Beat 'Em Down.
And I'm Random Randy Savage.
Find us on all your podcatching apps like Podbean or Spotify. And follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Or just go to www.cult45podcast.com.
Also, check out our YouTube for that sweet video content.
Cult 45, the only podcast that puts hair on your chest.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
So how much hair do you have on your chest?
A lot. A lot.
I still think that was one of the best episodes with Jurassic Park.
Oh, I love that one.
That was a good one.
I don't know. Every year I find a good one, and it's just like sometimes it's just like, oh, that one's the worst. We're going to lose everything. All the followers are going to leave us. So the next episode, I'll just try really hard, and it ends up being worse. Just a spiral until I'm like, oh, you know what? I give up. And that's usually when I just go insane. Need to be insane.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right.
How you guys doing?
All right. I guess this first article we need to talk about. John's going to cry a little bit.
This one hurts.
All right. I'm gonna have you pronounce his name because you know how I am.
Akira Toriyama.
Akira Toriyama passed away at the age of 68, was it?
Yep.
And for those who don't know, he's the creator of Dragon Ball Z, among other animes, but I think that's the largest thing he did, the most influential anime out there. Yeah. I was going to say, John, you go first. What did Dragon Ball mean to you, and how did this affect you?
First, let me put this in terms that people can understand, because not everybody here is an anime fan. What would have happened to rock and roll music if Elvis hadn't existed? What would have happened to rap music if Compton hadn't existed? If nobody in Compton had tried anything with rap?
You still would have had Barry Gordy, and you still would have had South LA.
Buddy Holly? But it would have, you're talking about the most important people that pushed the envelope, right?
The thing with Elvis is... The thing with Elvis is
Dr. Dre.
Okay, well, look, my okay. point.
No, let's say, I think though. Let's be honest, right? Elvis and Dr. Dre and those guys, they popularized it to where everyone listened to that genre.
And that's exactly what Toriyama did with manga when he was doing Dr. Slump. Initially, he was originally writing a manga that was just a comic. It was comedic. But then he started Dragon Ball, and he took off. And if it wasn't for Dragon Ball and then Dragon Ball Z, manga would not be the juggernaut it is today. It just wouldn't. Neither would the popularization of anime be what it is today in several countries, including the U.S., if it were not for Dragon Ball Z on Toonami and then replaying Dragon Ball and the Ocean dub and the Funimation dub that were done to bring it into the Americas. It just, his impact, his stuff was, what was it, like at least 30 different languages they were translating his stuff into. When Dragon Ball Super was out 5 years ago, in South America, Dragon Ball Z, huge. Like, it's soccer and then Dragon Ball Z. And basically they would pack stadiums with like 20,000 people to watch a couple of episodes of it all together. And there's videos of it on YouTube of them during the last few episodes of Dragon Ball Super, of them chanting Goku's name. Toriyama is single-handedly responsible for a lot of the reactors on YouTube, because they started reacting to Dragon Ball Z because of the Venn diagram of anime and people that wanted to get on YouTube anime fits and all that. It's just the impact of this man's life just cannot be understated for that entire genre, for all of anime and manga. He was just the GOAT. And I'm looking right now, there's a letter from Ichiro Oda who writes One Piece, and from Masashi Kishimoto, the guy who writes Naruto. And it was Kishimoto and Oda and Toriyama that were considered the three holy, the holy trinity of manga. Because it's One Piece, Dragon Ball Z, and Naruto. The three biggest stories in manga, period. And these two guys, Oda and Kishimoto, have lost, like, their friend. These are three people who could only understand each other. Nobody else can understand what they go through because nobody else has to deal with all this stuff that these three deal with. And they've lost somebody who is basically, you know, one of their contemporary. And it's in Japan, like, people are crying in the streets, which I don't. And here's the thing. The whole point of Dragon Ball, the main character, Goku, was based on the myth of Sun Wukong, the Monkey King. From China, from Chinese lore.
Right.
China hates Japan. They dance, they will do dances on TV when somebody in Japan dies so that they can just put one up on them.
Right.
Chinese TV, they're announcing Toriyama's death as this horrible loss. Like, even China, I cannot understand. I'm sure that anybody that's listening to us, or that listens to this later on, who's had any glancing blow with the anime genre, they at least have a smidgen of understanding of just how big a loss this is.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, my child, Dragon Ball Z is what introduced me to, I had seen anime before. Akira was Star Blazers, the Americanized version of mecha stuff, and Battle of the Planets, which is G-Force. But it wasn't until I watched Dragon Ball Z that I really thought, this is anime. This is this anime thing. I need to get into it. And that was in the 90s, early 90s. It's hard for me to talk about it because it's such a blow to kids' childhoods.
Yeah. It's difficult to talk about, but you still had a lot to say.
I mean, I'll read one paragraph from Ichiro Oda's letter. So he says, your impact was not limited to just the manga, you took the helm in an era when reading manga was considered a foolish waste of time. You forged an era where both adults and children could read and enjoy this medium. You showed me that manga could achieve such a thing. You made me dream that I could reach the whole world. You were my superhero. This has come from Ichiro Oda, who right now has the number one selling manga in the world, who does One Piece, who has over almost 1,100 episodes of the anime and did the Netflix thing where they spent $18 million an episode for 8 episodes of the live action. Like, yeah, this is... And he's saying that Toriyama was his muse.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. How about you, Randy? What are some of your memories of Dragon Ball? Or
I'm sorry. The only time I got into Dragon Ball was to try and get into the pants of an anime girl, and didn't work out. So,
see, if you'd known Dragon Ball, you wouldn't know.
Maybe. She did marry an anime guy, so maybe you're right. You're right. She saw through my ruse.
Okay. I'll say that when I was younger, I watched anime, but like I watched Vampire Hunter D and Record of Lotus War was one of my favorites. I think because it was so like Lord of the Rings, in some ways, like a fantasy thing. And I was aware of Dragon Ball and I had seen it, but I never really got into it. But then when my son was, I want to say 6 or 7, he discovered it and fell in love with it. And it's one of he has the whole first series on DVD. It's something he wanted for his birthday. I think it was his 8th birthday he got it. And he watched it all the time. And so I appreciated it for that. And I've watched that and Super with him. And yeah, it's a... So it's a part of my son's childhood that is definitely, it affected him. Yeah.
Here's another subgenre that this affected. You've heard of abridged series?
Yeah.
Know what an abridged series is? So, you know, some group takes an anime or whatever, and they rework they cut it up, they piece it back together again, they do their own voiceovers, and they make it into something funny or serious or whatever, but sometimes they change the storyline or whatever a bit. Up until one point, you'd have people that done, like Little Karibo did, I think it was Little Karibo that did Naruto, and it was hysterical and everything, but up until that point, the audio was not professional. You could hear echoes, and there were kids doing it in their basement and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Then along came Team Four Star. Mm-hmm. All of the best abridged series and voice actors at the time on YouTube somehow found their way together to create Dragon Ball Z Abridged. And it became one of the greatest abridged series of all time. And within the first couple of episodes, they had their quality up to the point where it was professionally done. And it was so good that Toei Animation, the people that technically own distribution rights to Dragon Ball Z, they laid off. And Japan is completely litigious. If you do anything with their stuff, any anime, Japan, the state Japan, will come after you. But they laid off the Dragon Ball Z Abridged and Team Four Star because there's some people in some circles that say that if it wasn't for Dragon Ball Z Abridged, Dragon Ball Super would not have happened, because Dragon Ball Z Abridged drove interest back into the Dragon Ball manga, because that happened well after Dragon Ball Z ended. It's like normally a person's life is a little pebble being thrown in a pond and small ripples coming out. Oda is like a giant asteroid hitting a pond, and that's the kind of ripples we're talking about here in completely different circles of life, even, that he affected it. And he spent his whole life, there's not one person that will say he was a bad person. Everybody says he was the nicest person they've ever met. And all he did was bring joy and happiness and imagination to the world. And there is no life better spent than doing that.
You should learn from that, Jeff. Instead of bringing...
We should all learn from, really.
I know. Instead of bringing your curmudgeon ways. All right. Rest in peace. And he will be missed.
Omega level nerds.
Yeah, he said that, I think he was talking about the Abridged series. A friend and I watched and reacted to the first couple seasons of that, but it kept getting copyright strikes.
Yeah, and after that, they laid off of it. I guess they had some kind of, they came to some kind of agreement.
Or maybe it wasn't Dragon Ball. Maybe it was the guys who did the Abridged were copyright striking.
But his other comment, this is Stanley level. That's pretty much That's a good enough.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. All right, do you want to talk about Crunchyroll real quick?
Oh yeah,
I don't have an article on it, but yeah, they're being shut down by the evil empire Warner Brothers, who owns
not Crunchyroll.
I'm sorry.
Let's get our evil companies straight here. Yeah. Sony owns Crunchyroll. Okay. They ate Funimation, and now they're doubling their price. And anybody who was on Funimation that had paid for content is losing that. We talked about this before, when they buy streams so that, you know, I should be allowed to stream it whenever because I've bought that. Yeah. They're all losing that, even though they technically, quote unquote, owned it, except in the fine print where it says they don't.
That reminds me of a meme I saw the other day. If buying a stream doesn't mean I technically own it, then piracy isn't theft.
Yes, exactly. But this is about Rooster Teeth. Now, Rooster Teeth has been around for a little over 10 years.
Yes.
And they own a lot of intellectual property that is very popular among nerd culture. Red versus Blue.
Yes.
Ruby. Right. Death Battle. And now...
I didn't even think of that. That's right. Death Battle.
They own Death Battle. Yeah. And now all of that's up in the air. And I heard... Here's the thing. Devil Artemis, who's a 3D... artist. He does videos. He does Cell versus videos, actually. Back to Toriyama. He announced on his channel about 2 weeks ago that he had been contacted by Death Battle, and he was contracted to do some of the Death Battle videos for this upcoming season. And now I don't know where that is. I haven't managed to find him putting out any other stuff about that. But anyway, the people that own Rooster Teeth would be almighty WB, Warner Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And we know how well they are at making decisions about stuff.
Right. Might as well just kill the whole thing right now.
I have a question, and it's around Death Battle. Did your love of Rainbow Dash exist before she was featured on Death Battle, or did you start loving her after she... Was it Starscream
on Death Battle? Yeah, it was Rainbow Dash versus Starscream.
Yes.
And Starscream did not survive the encounter. It was awesome. One of the best death battles ever. And it's really short, but it's really good.
Yeah, that's what it was.
You're strategic. Death Battle made Superman beat Goku.
Yeah. Nice. Well, hey, Death Battle is the one that ignited that whole debate, right? And they've done it they've done it three times now. By the third time, you've gotten the idea that they're just like having fun with it now. They don't care who wins, except it's always going to be Superman. But the thing is that Warner Brothers, once again, is looking at a property they've got. And even though I think Rooster Teeth makes money because they own Ruby. And I mentioned a little while ago that they have a Blu-ray out, animated movie, Justice League X Ruby, right?
Right.
And
right.
They came out with part one. They've got part two and three coming out. I'm going to assume that WB owns the rights to the Ruby stuff, but...
That's the thing. You would think they thought they were popular
enough to do that.
And now all of a sudden it's, we're just going to...
And Death Battle gets millions of views per episode. Like, I don't know how they're not making... I know that they cost money to make because the animation's not easy, expensive.
Be honest, there is a possibility they'll fold those properties into Max now.
Death Battle, they're gonna sell that off, I think. I'm hoping somebody will buy it,
yeah,
because the Death Battle cast is hardcore, a really good, funny group of guys. But as for the rest, like Ruby, I don't know what they're gonna do because originally Monty Ohm owned the Ruby franchise, but he passed away during the second, from what I've heard. Like, the rights to that have not been treated well since. I don't know what's going to happen with that. But, yeah, again, it's just, once again, something like 11 years ago, Rooster Teeth was one of the largest channels, one of the largest creators, like YouTube, and they had their own streaming service, too, for the last couple of years. It's the death of another huge piece of our childhood. I know I'm taking a lot of time on these, but it's, I don't know why all of this, just all of this happening at once is really killing me.
It's a lot going on. You just pray for the days that nothing happens.
Yeah.
And how often does that happen?
I would say if you can, go back and watch like Ruby, the original Ruby series, not the anime. There's an anime version, not that great. Watch the original Ruby series and Red versus Blue. The Red versus Blue episodes are very small, and they are hilarious. Bar none, they are hilarious. Well, you can still find them, because who knows, with the WB, they might take that and lock it up. Right next to the Batwoman, Batgirl.
Or sell it to Netflix for money.
Speaking of Warner Brothers and DC and questionable decisions about continuity, James Gunn gave us an update on Peacemaker Season 2. Long story short, he said, Peacemaker 1, Season 1, doesn't count anymore. It's not part of continuity, but Peacemaker Season 2 would be part of the new DCU continuity.
How do you do that?
It's DC. They do this stuff DC. All the time.
But it's Season 2.
I'm sure in spirit, John will say the same thing I'm about to say. Continuity is a crutch. We just need to let it go.
It's funny because this is what happened with the new 52 launch. It was like...
Yeah, everything you've learned up until now is garbage. This is all the new,
Court of
the
Owls new Bible. Court of Owls was already written. And it followed the original. It was still followed the continuing True. Continuity of Batman. So it just went on, and people accepted that. Yeah.
I will push back a little bit on what you said, Rand. No. Continuity can be a crutch, but if it's executed well, it allows you to build a story up to great heights. Vis-a-vis, I would say, Endgame, right?
But you no one needs the crutch forever, right? We can let it go eventually. We have to, because otherwise it ends up being a shackle. Just like, I want to do crazy stuff. Multiverse! And it's like, no, you can't, because it's part of the
continuity. One would say that when continuity becomes a problem, that's when you start a multiverse so that you can start breaking all your own rules.
Then the multiverse becomes part of the continuity. It's
right,
but it's the universe where it all happened.
And then you do a crisis to get rid of some of those.
Or you do a dark universe where none of it happened.
Or you kill it right away.
Or then you just kill it. Like, no, everything's dead and we start over.
And then also he said that the Waller series is also still being made, but now that's going to come out after Peacemaker Season 2. It was originally supposed to come out before.
We're going
to
have Sexy Waller, or we're going to have Big Lady Waller?
It's the same actress, so...
Doesn't matter. As long as they have the same actress, she kicks ass.
Sexy Big Lady Walter. Got it.
Scary Sexy.
That's part of the sexy.
Okay.
She is definitely... I can't think of her name.
Viola Davis?
Yes.
Yeah.
She is so good at, like...
You guys would suck at the floor.
She gives you that...
Dom energy?
I would just say, it's funny, it sounds like I'm putting her down, but it's not. She knows how to do the look. Like, the mom look where you're like, oh god, okay, I'm gonna do it. And it's like the best way I can describe it.
The
it's
word like, he's looking for is sassy.
The mom, I don't look, like that word. I feel like that demeans women.
The mom look, if you're talking Sweeney Todd.
She commands presence is basically what I'm getting at.
Ah, that's much better.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm curious to see how they're going to do this, though. And is it going
to
be?
That's why he's trying to get Grant Gustin in there. So he
That's the other story, which is funny because
that's awesome.
Last week we didn't talk about this, but Grant Gustin did say he would love to be part of the DCU if James Gunn would ask him. And then James Gunn came out in an interview and said he would love to work with Grant Gustin. Does that mean he's going to make him Flash
back?
Who knows? But
I mean, that series didn't end well, but with Gunn in charge of the writing. He's, you know, in charge of how it will go. Oh, Grant is perfect.
We get one more, we get one big movie with Grant, and then he dies.
Now I'm going to ask because I was the biggest fan of that show, and I dropped off in the last couple since.
Everybody did, because after the pandemic and everything got screwed up, and the writing wasn't that great at
it. Really, there was a whole season devoted just to one side character, and it really sucked.
How did it end, though?
They had
one.
They brought back Green Arrow for a little bit at the end there, made him.
I haven't finished it.
But the thing is, they hit a whole bunch of. There was the pandemic, then there was the controversy about the guy who played Elastic Man. I forget his name. Who like Plastic Man, like Elongated Man, whatever.
It's a difference.
Yeah, they had to fire him because of things, and it just every. And then I think at that point, WB was already. Or CW was already like shutting down, and we're just.
I feel like
we need to end the
Discovery Warner's merger, and it's just
yeah, they stopped paying.
Then.
I will they say that cut the budgets. Like it was just
like with I can't think of the actor's name. It doesn't matter. But with the Elongated Man storyline, it felt like they were going somewhere.
They were for the next season.
They were going to Infinite Crisis. Are they going to Identity Crisis?
Exactly, and like
a Hartley Sawyer.
Yeah.
It was Hartley Sawyer, and he's not good.
Was it Nazi tweets, or was it like sexual things?
I think it was sexual things.
It was racist.
Okay.
And probably everything else, too. I just...
There's only a few things you can actually get canceled.
But it's funny,
for those things, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
It was funny. I don't remember exactly what they were, but it at the time, it felt like the same thing that happened to Gunn, you know, because they were older tweets, and they had resurfaced all of a sudden, and then it was like, oh, this guy's terrible, fire him. And Gunn was like, I was young. I didn't know what I was doing. They were just jokes.
Did you not see that video he made with Sasha Gray? That was hilarious. It's a whole thing.
And so it worked. Like, this is a but it worked for Gunn, days. But it didn't work for him. That's all I'm getting at. It's like, he came back.
It was like, we can lose an actor. We can replace those. But a guy with vision, I don't know, who made like billions of dollars off of those Guardians of the Galaxy movies.
Yeah.
We'll put him in the corner for now until we can like, we'll bring him back.
Because it's not like everyone's watching Flash for Elongated Man, so we don't need.
It's true.
His storyline was pretty.
I liked where he was going with Sue. I liked what they were doing with Sue too. But it's like, we didn't need him. We needed more another character. Bring more.
Bring
Dreamer into the Flash universe.
But to go back to this, Grant Gustin would be. Just that casting alone would have put a ticket.
My only thing is like a lot of the best stories, Justice League movies and stories and whatnot, are when Flash is like the young guy looking at the Justice League in awe, and you can't really do. Grant Gustin's a little too old to be the young guy anymore.
Grant Gustin still looks like he's 18. He still looks pretty damn young.
He's gonna do Crisis on Infinite Earths one more time. And then he's just going to rewrite the storyline for the DCU. And it's like, there, stuck now. We're not going back.
Hey, knowing Gunn, he could probably do that. That's like an actual possibility with Gunn at the helm.
As long as we don't get a bunch of CGI universes like we did in the Flash.
I think that's done.
We're going to pop around. We're going to see all the cool little different places for half a second. We're going to get Henry Cavill back in that Superman suit, just punching emo Batman. And it's going We're gonna get Michael Keaton in that Flash universe looking like, what the fuck was that? And then that's it. That's this whole thing.
No, you'll have a single frame of cameo for Martian Manhunter and maybe two or three frames for Wonder Woman, because you gotta have her.
You're gonna have the zombie Wonder Woman.
Gal Gadot just had her fourth child this past week.
Cool. Good for her.
Wow.
And she still looks like that. Jeez.
Genetics.
Women are jealous everywhere.
They're actors. They work when they work, and they don't when they don't. And like when you don't, you work out and stay fit.
Yeah.
If someone paid you to work out all the time, you'd look great too.
Yeah, yeah. If you were paid enough where you could spend 6 hours a day working out, making,
I would,
you know,
like that,
crafting your body. But most of us actually have to work to put food on the table and keep a roof over our heads, or in my case, actually put a new roof over my head. We don't have that time.
We're back, and we're back to the beginning of the episode. Sad.
Yep. sad man. Okay, let's do something.
Darkness.
Okay, darkness.
All right, let's talk about how Superman isn't relevant anymore. And how Hope died.
And then the other article we had, everything was DC related. This Wendell Pierce was cast as Barry White in the James Gunn Superman. What?
Is that supposed to be a joke? The black man playing Perry White?
Oh my god. Is this like the third time though? Like, it's not.
It is.
Yeah. We're it should be great. Know.
I don't care. He just has to be
gruff. Just has to do one time. That's it. That's all he got to do.
We just want Shaft Perry White.
That's he's most known for The Wire. I think he's a good choice. And let's be honest. How much of a role is Perry White going to have in the movie? Like, Perry White is like the guy that says, Lois, go on this story. Clark, go do this. And that's it.
But if that character's written right, he can have he can be a pivotal character in the action that gone, right?
Everyone loves J. Jonah Jameson.
Yeah.
True.
Things happen because of J. Jonah Jameson. Same thing should have, if they wrote Perry White correctly instead of just the guy in the office yelling, he would be that too. And it's very easy to do because
the Christopher Reeves movies made him like a comic foil.
Yeah,
you know,
pretty much.
He was the comic relief in a lot of the scenes.
And unfortunately, that's the image people have in their heads for the last 50 years.
Yeah, I don't know. I liked Lawrence Fishburne. I thought he did a good job.
He did fine.
But again, he didn't have
he didn't have a lot to do. So
he didn't have a lot to do in those movies.
More to do in John Wick than he did in Superman.
Oh, yeah. And you can see, if he can do that in John Wick, he could do Perry White.
Yeah, I think the most he had to do was, like, confront them to be better reporters, and that's about it.
And then lift that boulder off that lady, but then fail.
That's right. Yeah, that was such a weird choice to have them in the destruction.
We haven't. This isn't on our roster, but there was a rumor that Bob Iger was canceling a whole bunch of projects at Marvel.
They're saying this is the thing, and there's a lot of people talking about this, and they're calling them silent cancellations.
Silent cancellations, yeah.
Because he came out and he made an announcement of, like, here are the projects that we're currently working on, and here are the dates. And he didn't mention a bunch of projects, so they're calling them silent cancellations. But, like, he didn't mention Vision Quest. But what's the actor who plays Vision? Paul Bettany just came out not that long ago and said that he's talked to the producers, he's got a script, like, they're going to start filming in, I think, April or something like that. So, like, they are going ahead with that. When he said that the story deals with White Vision finding his place in the world and dealing with his memories of Vision. So
we also have the Young Avengers. White. We have Moon Knight 2, Blade. What else was there?
These are the ones that got silent canceled? Or
no, these are the ones that are rumored to be silent canceled.
Yeah.
Oh, Armor Wars on the table.
Yes, Armor Wars.
Riri Williams. And Ironheart.
Armor Wars... Oh. I don't
supposedly
know.
Ironheart is already finished.
Oh, then that's different. But
then why have that end, that tag of the end of the Marvels if you're not doing Young Avengers?
Exactly.
Yeah. And Blade, what if season 3 is already finished too, from what I hear? And like, I
Blade
don't know if
they feels like
that
a
one,
dumb thing to cancel because everyone wants a new Blade.
I know, but they've had so much. I don't.
You're getting there.
What the hell's wrong with them that they are having so much trouble just getting a good script?
It's probably the incorporation of Black Knight. And, like, how do you play with that? And, like, I don't know. I was thinking the same thing. Like, what vampire story would I want for a Blade movie? And just, like, I don't know. Vampire drug dealers. We did that already. Vampire eco-terrorists. We did that already. Blocking out the sun.
Let's do the Midnight Suns then.
Which is what I heard that was the plan. Was, like, all the ones that are getting canceled are going to get incorporated in another one. So, like, a street level with Doctor Strange as the head. And it's, like, Moon Knight, Blade... You have Doctor Strange, Spider-Man, and I forget who else, Wolverine as their five. And it's like, oh.
The only thing I can say about all of this is most of these projects were streaming shows. And Iger did say they want to try to pull back from those a little bit because people are complaining that you have to watch the shows to understand the movies, and not everyone has this.
Well, the bigger problem was Kevin Feige was stretched so thin he couldn't keep up with everything anymore.
That's true, too.
And what they want to do is they want to reset back to, let's put out a movie a year, maybe, you know, three movies every 2 years, and then build up to something and then execute. Oh, the Avengers 5. That was another one that they said they might just cancel and not even replace it with it.
The Kang Dynasty.
Yeah, yeah. They might go right into Secret Wars.
I don't know, because at the same time, there's about 20 rumors about who's going to replace Majors as Kang. So it's, who knows? What was the one?
Have him die off screen by...
I would have said Don Cheadle, but the guy Don Cheadle replaced as...
Terrence Howard.
Yeah. That's my favorite meme that's floating around right now. That would be the
ultimate Kang. It's like, oh, no. Or Michael Coulter. Like, yeah, Luke Cage is Kang now. Moving on.
He was evil at the end, and they never finished that storyline. So.
Yeah, but he's still doing that show on Fox.
Probably, yeah. Was it The Evil Inc. or whatever it is?
I don't know. He's an exorcist or something.
Yeah. Oh, that's on CBS.
Oh, CBS. Yeah. Okay.
I was like, Fox.
Everything ends up on Fox.
Eventually. <No.
laughs> All right. That's it, I think, for the news. Let's take a quick commercial break, and we'll come back, and we'll talk our main topic.
This is so wizarding.
Broadcasting very fast and very dangerous from the planet Malastare, you are listening to So Wizards.
You're thinking, you're the people gonna die?
The only podcast to make the Kessel Run in under 12 parsecs.
No one to stop us this time.
I am your host, Joey DiCarlo, and with me, my co-hosts, the queen of all nerds, Aubrey Litchfield, and the expert, Mr. Marcellus Ray. You are listening to So Wizard Podcast, where three friends review movies, TV, and sometimes more, podcasting weekly on the Geek World All-Stars Podcast Network. For Kellis Reagan's, please tell the listeners where they can find more So Wizard Podcast.
Everybody, you can head on over to SoWizardPodcast.com, and there you're going to find a brand new episode every week. Find So Wizard on all podcasting streaming platforms, such as iTunes, Spotify, Good Pods, and pretty much wherever you can find a podcast. Check out our YouTube page, where new content is being uploaded regularly. We also have a Patreon page. For as little as $1 a month, you can receive exclusive bonus content while you're supporting the show.
No, I didn't!
First of all, a podcast takes a lot of work, okay? You have to organize the guests, you have to do a Google Calendar, and you build a following. It takes a long f***ing time, and I've been working on it for a while.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
I noticed this last week. I didn't notice it at first. That you even changed Joey's face in that. Is it someone else's face, or did you just put it through like an AI filter?
I just put it through an AI filter. It was just like, whatever, take this image and make him a podcaster. And it's like, I'm going to cut off his hands. Why? Why did you cut off his hands?
Take away.
I'm a psychotic robot.
Or I'm going to add 5 fingers. Why doesn't AI know that human beings have 10 fingers? It's the only way we're going to be able to beat them.
I'm just glad the AI was nicer to Mark. Although it did take some
doing. That's a very handsome man.
It did. It took some doing. I was like, make me a movie expert. And then just like, all right, make me a movie expert who's not Asian. All right? Not white. Not Irish. Come on.
Hey.
Took a lot of... Listen, this person right here, on the photograph I'm giving you, just make them a movie expert. White guy, right? No.
Redhead, right?
Redhead, no. I did something the other day. I was just like, typed in the AI as a wizard who conjuring demon. And like, it handed me 2 Asian women ballroom dancing. And I was like, what? Not even close.
The problem with AI, and it's, again, it's not real AI, but it's true that one of the things they found with facial recognition and all that is it's trained with all white people. And that's one of the biggest problems. And all that data is being fed into these models.
It's funny, speaking of facial recognition, I think it's weird that my iPhone will unlock with my face, but if I take my glasses off, it won't unlock. But I was brushing my teeth and I had my toothbrush in and I picked my phone up and it unlocked. It's like, wait a minute. So if there's something blocking part of my face, it's smart enough to go, no, that's him. But if I take my glasses off, it's not smart enough to go, oh, that's him.
That doesn't look like you. I'm sorry. It was the prompt wasn't a wizard. It was flying monkey in tuxedo posing for prom photo. And it gave me two lesbian Asian women. And I was like, what?
Just like all of the internet, it slides inexorably towards prom.
We don't do that
here. I'm just reporting what happened. I found the monkey photo I wanted. It was just like, but it was much easier. Just monkey in tuxedo.
All right. We're here to talk about Superman and specifically Action Comics 775. What's so funny about Truth, Justice, and the American Way? This story that came out in 2017. And this was your pick, John.
Surprisingly.
First off, hello, Q50. Off. Basically, the story is there's a group of vigilantes known as the Elite. They all have these really weird superpowers. And Superman, like, they're going around stopping villains by killing them. Just, like, flat out, they're done at killing them. And Superman is now trying to stop them. And there's a conflict between him. And while he's doing this, they show in, like, panels, the public sentiment is people like the Elite because they're getting the job done. And they're like, Superman's not cool anymore. And that's a basic premise that's been discussed for a while now. Is Superman still relevant? Is he still cool? Do people want the anti-heroes that go around killing people? And so
I felt this really much deeper than just a cursory glance at the actual story itself. And the writer of this was Joe Kelly. So this goes back to, you were given superpowers. What would you do with them? What's right and wrong? The whole point of this is, what's right and wrong? What barriers or rules can you put up around yourself so you don't slide down towards just what the Elite were doing, which is just killing everybody that they thought was wrong? What kind of society would you have if, let's My Hero Academia this, what happens if everybody has suddenly gained superpowers? Everybody's idea of right and wrong is different. And look at the Middle East right now, right? The West Bank, Gaza Strip, and Israel, right? Both sides want to kill each other. Both sides want a genocide. At least the people in charge do. And if you gave them all superpowers, they think they're doing what's right. Superman's whole idea of this is, we have to stick with the law, first off, because that the law is created by the body politic, by the people. So at least that's the general version of what's right and wrong. And you don't kill people because then you don't have a chance to redeem these people, or to punish them via the law.
You can't
be your own judge, jury, and executioner.
I was going to say, that is one of the things, and it's interesting, Greg, because Kasani even made a comment about the American way, and maybe that's outdated, and people view the American way as how America is today. And no, the American way really means the American ideal of innocent until proven guilty, a trial of your peers, and following a system of justice. Not just, I think you're a bad guy, I'm going to kill you, and move on. That's what it's supposed to mean. And that's true. And that's even said in the comic. These people have to be brought to trial. We don't get to be judge, jury, and executioner.
And going back to an earlier thing that we're talking about with Akira Toriyama's death, one of the biggest things about Goku was he would fight these bad guys like Vegeta to, you know, beat them to a pulp, put them down, but he didn't kill them. And he turned almost every one of his previous aggressors became his friends later in the show. Redeeming them, especially Vegeta. And Vegeta turned an entire city of people to glass. But they got to be redeemed later, and they also had Dragon Balls to bring all those people back. But the thing is, if Plastic Man is a perfect example. He was a criminal. I think, depending on the continuity, he had three strikes before he became a superhero. What happens if the Elite had caught him after that first time and then just wasted his ass? Right? You wouldn't have Plastic Man, who is technically one of the most powerful people in all of DC Comics, killed. He just can't be killed. But he's also a Flash character. He's a heart and soul of the Justice League. He keeps things light. It's, what do you do? If anybody who's listening to us, if you're driving on the street and somebody cuts you off and then brake checks you out of nowhere, if you had a superpower, if you had like telekinesis and you'd throw his car around, in the heat of that moment, in that split second when you got pissed, would you be able to stop yourself in time before you threw his car off the bridge?
No, I would make him shit himself. It's more fun that way. And he didn't die. He just shat himself.
As somebody who's been in a car with you, John, I don't know if you could stop yourself.
So you're right. But there's the dilemma of Superman. He has ultimate power. You know, like we've seen what happens when he goes bad. Joker kills his wife and pregnant with his kid, he becomes super evil, right? At least that version of Clark Kent on, was it Earth 2? So what happened? The whole point of this is, yeah, in urban fantasy, in a lot of comic books, the writers have antiheroes that they waste people left and right. And that the whole point of this was, is Superman still relevant?
Sans asking... Superman trying to abide by the rules of the people is vague. Which people? Kansas, America, set the guidelines, state, federal, blah, blah, blah. Again, I don't think you were listening what I said. It's the American ideal. It doesn't matter.
But they went over that before, too. There was that one time Joker became an ambassador, and not even Superman would touch him because he's not that guy. He's not going to be causing an international incident, even if he knows that guy could be easily just flicked off existence.
No, but Kassan's right, though. Even in America, if you look at the differences in laws between the states alone, right? Which states, if you're in a state, are you going to, what do you do? There are certain examples that will get me your clip there, Dave.
That's the whole, point, too. It's not about individual laws within a state or individual, it's about, again, it's just people actually committing crimes and what is bringing them to justice, not just being judge, jury, and executioner.
Which means that you don't kill somebody, you bring them to whatever justice in whatever area.
All the dangerous hypotheticals. What if a person, say like Fallout, exists, and his very existence causes people to die around him?
Yes.
And it's so, does Superman have the right to kill that person because he's a threat to everyone around him? What do we do?
And in the animated version, was it the Superman versus the Elite? That was Tom McSkull, right? Right. All he was doing was walking down the street, killing people, turning them literally to dust.
I will say this. I think to Kassan's point and what you guys are saying a little bit, one of the issues I have with the story is the story starts out with Superman going to another country to stop, like, to get involved with some kind of conflict that's going on. And it's like, I think the writer was making a point. Wait a minute, does he have a right to spread the American way? Because what is the justice system in that country that he's going to, right? Because in some countries, you are allowed to just kill somebody if they're doing wrong. Or if somebody steals, you cut their hand off. But there are some countries that still have those kinds of laws.
Right.
We still have the same one where you can marry your cousin at the age of 12. Doesn't mean that it's actually morally right.
We're not talking
about
Alabama. We're not talking about Alabama. No.
Apologies to all of our listeners in Alabama.
Yeah.
Dave, put up Thorn Kills.
How do you circumcise your uncle? Kick your daughter in the teeth.
That's North Carolina. No. I'm gonna insult a few. So what if Superman doesn't agree with what justice is meted out and who turns? Also, Kassan's
tough
comment
titties.
Before that.
That's what he does.
Kassan's comment before that. Yeah. So stand your ground, right? The idea is that if somebody comes on your property, you have the right to shoot them if they don't get off immediately. But then reductio ad absurdum. George Zimmerman followed Trayvon Martin around until he thought he had a reason, and then he shot Trayvon Martin dead, and he claimed stand your ground, even though the police had told him to stop following Trayvon. So even some of our laws are not great and should be amended or rescinded.
Okay,
but what laws do you apply?
But again, here's the thing. We're getting into the weeds. The idea is, did Superman have a right to come down and kill
the giant monkey man? That's what it was. It was a giant monkey thing.
I just meant Zimmerman. Could Superman come down and kill Zimmerman at that point?
Like the Elite even talked about in the comics where it's like, all right, fine. Anything above murder, like a human could actually handle, you take care of. Giant meteors, giant monsters, alien invasion, the massive, massive nuclear fallout, something that would wipe us all out. You take care of that. And we'll take care of anything below that, the petty crime. I feel like that's a good line to lay, right?
No, but they were, in both the animation and the comic, they were getting involved with two nation states. And what's right there? Which one is supposed to win? They just went in and killed everybody involved in the fight, including innocent bystanders and all, even the people that were the soldiers that were defending the country that they were in got wiped out. And here's the reason why we're in the weeds is because this is how complex this idea is, right? Where's the safe zone? What can you do? What's the least amount you can do that puts you on the side of right without putting you over that line that says that you have to start killing people? And here's another bump in the road. Comics have all these contrivances of, we have power dampening collars, we have this, we can control this. In the animation, they had Atomic Skull hooked up to a nuclear siphon to siphon off his energy and keep him weak. What if, but that's all like technological gobbledygook, right? It's just, it's there as a contrivance for the story. What if we didn't have that? What if you had people that had superpowers and all they wanted to do was kill people or destroy the world and no way to control them or no way to imprison them?
We have that.
What's right then? Do you kill them or not?
Okay, wait, hold on. First off, we have those today. They're called politicians.
What are you doing? We don't do that here.
Pulling it on yourself, Dave.
I was going to say it. But people with unchecked power with no way of stopping them.
All I can say to that is eat the rich.
But here's the thing, right? And it's funny because you get into the weeds, because part of the problem is Superman's longevity, right? Because he's not the same character that was created back
then. He was like Batman when he first came out. They were killing people left and right.
I'm not even talking about that. I'm just talking about his power level. He couldn't fly. He was as strong as like 10 men. He didn't have the ability to like move planets or anything like that. And so it's not a thought of, oh, he can just fly over to another country and do stuff that he's not supposed to. Oh, he could go fly to Florida. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't like that in the early days.
Then World War II happened.
Yeah, World War II happened. He got involved with that. But
First, World War II happened. He started selling bonds, but then they started giving him more power because people wanted an outlet. All of their anger happened during World War II, and one of those outlets was reading about somebody with ultimate power being able to pound the Nazis into dust. So,
right. Talk about ultimate power.
Turn them into salsa.
Taylor Swift walks the earth.
Taylor Swift is a superpower person.
She's a superpower.
No doubt.
Just bow to her will. That's fine.
It's the whole thing is
and
like
entertained.
Shake it off.
Obviously, and there was a story where like they changed his ability to leap tall buildings into flight. Then it was, oh, if he can fly, why didn't all the people from Krypton fly away? And then it was like, oh no, it's the yellow sun that gives him his powers. And so he's evolved so much over the decades that he is now this essentially all-powerful being.
No, he's been nerfed.
Yeah.
He's Silver Age.
I was about to say, he's not Silver Age.
He's not smashing planets.
But he's still the most powerful superhero in the DC universe. So that's where these like blurred lines of morality come in. But I don't know. I feel like, that's the thing. Let's jump ahead to the end of the story, because that answers a lot of it. He does finally confront the Elite, and he makes it look like he's killing off the members, right?
He shows people what it looks like if he adopted the same
exactly
strategy.
Exactly. So the Elite has to see that the leader of the Elite, I can't think of his name, the character's name.
Manchester Black,
has to watch all his team members die, quote unquote, die in front of him. And then Superman uses his X-ray vision to alter his brain to take his powers away. But then at the end, you find out it was all a bluff. He was just showing the world and Manchester Black what their form of justice is.
Yeah,
and nobody liked it.
Literally deconstructing them, holding up a mirror to them and showing them what they look like from the outside.
What the dark side of justice is really like.
What they were doing, yeah.
Yeah.
So the problem is that The idea of it, violence achieved, or violence perceived as violence achieved, which is enough for them to be like, you know what? We don't want to do this anymore. Like, yeah, he wanted to show them what it was like if we could kill the heroes.
It's is more that like
apples to apple pie.
No, he was showing them. He was showing them what their morals are like. Like he disagreed with the elite. So the elite disagree with those two nation states, and they wipe out like a couple of thousand soldiers, whether or not the soldiers were in their own territory, defending their own territory. They wipe them out. Now Superman disagrees with the elite, so he wipes them out. That's the elite's. That's, again, if you go to Latin, reductio ad absurdum, you're reducing their argument to its most basic component. And if you add a little sophistry in there from Socrates, basically he's holding up a mirror to them and showing them what the ultimate end goal of, or the end result is of the path that they're on.
And again, just so everyone's clear, because I don't think Hassan read this or saw the movie, is it's a trick. Like, he doesn't actually kill them. He makes it look like they die. But he doesn't actually kill them.
And he doesn't actually lobotomize.
But then Manchester says at the end, is like, so what stops us from just coming back? What stops us from just coming back and doing exactly what we were doing 10 minutes ago? And it's like, it's me. I'm going to keep coming and I'm going to keep doing this. And it's like, yeah, but you die eventually, Superman. Everyone does.
Yeah. But Superman's going to outlive him. But the whole point is, like, he says, I'm going to dream every night of taking you out, Superman. And Superman's literal response to that is, I wouldn't have it any other way. Dreams save us. Dreams lift us up and transform us. And on my soul, I swear, until my dream of a world where dignity, honor, and justice become the reality we all share, I'll never stop fighting.
And that's one of the other things. Point. That's a theme that's also repeated in the comic a few times. They keep calling him the dream because he's the ideal. So, yeah. Yeah, and then it's interesting, too. There's another aspect of this story I found interesting is when he's laying in bed with Lois and, like, he's talking about going up to confront them or whatnot. And she's like, why don't you call the JLA to help? And he goes, this isn't their fight. They brought the fight to me. And she was like, no, you brought the fight to them, which I thought was a great point in the story. Like,
right.
He, and I think it's also his.
You don't ever stop Batman from not hurting people.
That's true, too. See, but Batman doesn't actually kill in the comics, only in the movie.
He sometimes just accidentally fall over a railing. Whoop.
I think the best is when he puts the bomb in the clown and Batman Returns and throws him and he blows up and he just doesn't care. Like, but, wow, he's a cold-blooded killer.
But so yeah, like, again, this
you're
all boils
your God if you can't.
This all boils down to what is a superhero and what is right? What can you do that's right by everybody? Which is a hard question to answer.
It's funny. We talk about this on the show a lot. And JD, it's a shame he's not here because he's one of the things he's said a lot, and I agree, is that he's somebody that you should look up to. And one of the best, James Gunn will give us that answer in July 2025. Yeah, that's when the movie comes out.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Batman logic is hilarious. No death, but you'll be a vegetable for the rest of your life.
That's what I've always said, is you don't have to kill the Joker, but a paralyzed Joker doesn't hurt anybody.
Yeah, but again, and yeah, no, because
Joker's
right,
brain in the jar is still technically alive.
See, and that's the thing, like, it's like squeaking by as a writer. It's like you walked right up to this incredibly hard, incredibly deep moral quandary, and you say, we'll just make him a vegetable and walk away from it and not look back and,
like,
not
you
ever
know what?
Consider
I'm a billionaire.
Our actions.
I'm going to solve crime. Everyone gets equal pay. Let's go out looking for crimes.
Yep.
it's funny. I get flack from John and JD a little bit on this. But again, my favorite Spider-Man movie is still Spider-Man 2. In fact, I think it's still one of my favorite superhero movies, period. And but one of the reasons, too, there's the scene when...
when Aunt Peter, May's like...
Right. Peter and Aunt May are talking when Aunt May has to, like, move out of the house.
Because the bank is her house, but Peter didn't stop the bank to taking her house. Real villains.
Yeah, exactly.
But she gives the line of everyone loves a hero. Everyone cheers on the hero. And the hero is the guy who tells you to hold on a little bit longer. Not necessarily. Yeah, exactly. Not necessarily the person who swoops in to save the day, but the person that inspires you to do better, to go on to survive. And it's like, yes, it's one of the greatest speeches in a movie ever. And yeah, go ahead.
And no, going exactly what you're saying. Superman's whole point is, how can you inspire somebody to be better if you've murdered them?
Or how can you inspire others who watch you to be better if you're telling them that, oh, killing is the answer?
One of the points, and they in the animation, they did this verbatim from the comic. He said one of the things that made him really sad was he heard a kid say, I would love to be Manchester Black, or I'd love to have superpowers because it'd be fun to go killing bad guys. And Superman was like, fun to kill, fun really. Like, he's trying to inspire these people, grow into a world where killing isn't the first action, that the idea of killing somebody is not anywhere near fun.
So it's a tough, it's a tough question. Is Superman still relevant in the sense of, yeah, I feel that he's more relevant today. We need that in our world. And yet people are more of, I want to be the dark vigilante. Yeah, just kill this bad that I don't like.
I don't know. I feel like we're still pining for it. Everyone really liked that Adventures of Superman show and Superman and Lois, because they both hold on to those ideals, and we let Snyder go on the wayside on his thing. And like, we like Captain Marvel and stuff like that, or Shazam.
Yes. I mean, one of my predictions is if we're all still around and James Gunn does give us an inspirational Superman, it'll be one of the biggest movies in a long time.
Something of what Randy said, the Marvels,
right.
Captain Marvel. What did they call her in that movie?
The Annihilator.
The Annihilator. Why? Because she took out their son in order to
just punish them. That's
right. And
at least she didn't wipe out the planet, though. She just starved them to death.
Exactly. Different. Starved them to death and destroyed their entire ecosystem beyond repair. Probably extinctioned like most of the fauna and flora on their planet. So there you go. There's a perfect example of somebody using their power in a way that does irreparable harm.
You want to talk about Kassan's thing, or should I?
Yeah, okay, so in the Dark Knight Returns comic, Superman is spreading the American way by defeating Soviets in a foreign land. Does that mean he's putting American ideals over others, and he puts down Batman for embarrassing the president? You're missing the point of that comic. That comic is a political commentation on the world of the 1980s when it was written. And
yeah, the Reagan era.
It's a commentary on the Reagan era and the Cold War, and also that Batman is the rebel against the oppressive government, and Superman becomes part of the power. It's a Elseworld story. It's not real continuity.
So yes, he is. He's putting he's putting America's interests over everyone's.
Yeah,
but now
hey, Kassan, I don't think Kassan, you're old enough to have lived through the Reagan era, but we did. I definitely did. And
don't do it.
No, I'm just saying that if you lived through that time, you'd understand the comic better. I think you'd probably want to read something about what happened during Reagan's whole.
I'm sure he's old enough to live through the Bush era too. So
yeah, it was.
The first Bush.
Reagan's
Bush
policies
two,
are basically the reason why everything sucks these days.
Which one?
Okay.
We don't do that here.
Yeah, we are. Doing it right.
Yeah, we're doing it. No, but Dave, here's the thing. Like, Reagan's whole thing was raw American way, right? Like, shining city on the hill.
Again, it was the height of the Cold War. There's a
exactly.
lot. It's a very complicated thing.
We came very close to another McCarthy era of their neighbors, asking neighbors,
it's not like we were like
putting
us. It wasn't like we were telling everyone was a terrorist, or like we had to do this, or if you weren't on our side, you weren't a patriot.
Like you guys were saying, that comic
best idea here. Spies like us, best view of the Soviets, especially those two Russian spies.
But I thought in like New 52 or something, they dropped the American way thing.
They did.
But this comic's before that, but it's.
But again, going back to my original point, though, it's not necessarily about American ideas and it's more American interests. Sorry.
Listen, they wrote the document, all men are created equal, while literally it was only rich white men writing the paper and their wives were out in the kitchen with the black slaves. So it's like America has been flawed since the beginning.
Yes.
I think it's like, as long as we acknowledge but it's that also, and try to be
it's
better.
It's also known as the Great American Experiment. Yes. We try to get better. Yeah. I would say the last few decades we haven't, but that's another story.
We've been we're being dragged back to bad days. So, yeah.
Yep. United! What?
Yeah, exactly.
Don't get me started. All right.
So anyway, yeah, so here's the question then. What is the, I'd love to see this on Twitter or whatever they call it now. What is the audience, what does the audience think? Is Superman, do you still feel like Superman is relevant? Like his character, his whole ideology of I won't kill.
The idea I think the idea of something better to aspire to is important. It's more important today than it was in the 30s when it was originally written, I feel.
Yeah. Yeah. I said the same thing when we talked about Man of Steel. Was like, the problem with that iteration was that Jonathan Kent was like, you need to hide. You need to make sure that don't use your powers because you don't know what these mad people out there are going to do. And it's like, Jor-El was the one giving the advice. Like, no, be better. Be better mm-hmm. than them. Be an example of what they could be if they just follow your lead. And it's okay.
Don't let the school bus of kids drown. Just
don't let
this work. Maybe. Okay. Randy, that is a perfect example. Zod, they blew up the zone generator, right?
Uh-huh.
They had no way to imprison him. What do you do with Zod? Did he have to break his neck because there was no other way? Because there's no way you can imprison him? Or was there, or
there
know,
are ways
what
to
do you do?
Imprison him, though. Like, that's,
well, they
like,
found a way the next movie, Kryptonite.
Yeah.
Keep punching him until he goes down.
If
he,
right.
he's, eventually he's going to go down.
I mean, that's the whole thing. Superman can be knocked out. Zod could have been knocked out. That's
exactly.
Right.
Zod
knocked out.
That
that's...
earlier. It's like, you just keep punching him. He's going to go in that healing coma eventually.
So just put him in a cage match with, what's it, that thing? Right. What do you call it? The creature that killed Superman.
Doomsday.
Doomsday, right. I'm sorry. All I had was a picture in my head of the thing that they had in Batman versus Superman. That wasn't good. But, so
I was just thinking about that Max Landis. Where like, let's just punch each other, see who falls down first. Yeah!
Nice. Yeah. But you remember what the response was to the neck snap, right? Like, that became a huge issue that was discussed in...
That's what are we saying? The audience curled its nose at that. We don't want our Superman to do that.
And not only to kill, but to kill in such a brutal way.
Lobotomize him. Shoot him in the back of the head and lobotomize him.
Exactly. So,
yeah.
So at that point, even if you don't kill, do you have to... Like, there... This and this is something that, again, urban fantasy writers and a lot of different genres in the literary side of things, like, so, they deal with that a lot. What do you do when you give everybody powers? How do you...
That's one of the one
their
of the...
entire society. Wait, there are entire societies in some book series where, if anything, and they kill you because there's no way that they can control these characters. There's no way to imprison them, no way to stop them, no way to take their powers away, and they have to do a death sentence because there's no other way. It's so Superman is. What are you going to do with the Darkseid? Right, you're going to have to kill him. There's no other way to control Darkseid.
So here's the thing, and one of the huge issue with Man of Steel is it's poorly written, and the fact that they don't want to deal with any of Superman's weaknesses. So by the time Zod shows up, Superman doesn't know any of Zod's weaknesses because Superman doesn't have any weaknesses at that point, right? But what is it? Red Sun proved if you put him in a lead lined thing and keep him away from the sun, he'll lose all his powers. So, like, they could have done that with Zod.
Flashpoint.
Yeah, so there's 1,000 ways you can deal with Zod. Just that's not since Zack Snyder won it the next snap.
Wait,
that's
and then Dr. Fate still exists in that universe too, so then he could have trapped him in an alternate dimension.
There you go.
So, magic is still susceptible to Superman. So.
But they didn't explore any of that in Man.
So, and then we go back to the age old question, how do you kill a vampire?
Oh, see, JD's still here in spirit.
I know.
To Kassan's last comment, but what if you don't have all those options open to you, right? In the storyline that Zack Snyder wrote, there were no other options. And yet, it's like you two are saying, we need that icon, that example of what we aspire to, or else what do we got left, right?
Exactly.
I honestly don't like icons. I don't like the
interpretive. Yes.
Like how are you a slave with the powers of Superman?
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
And just be like, I'm okay with it. And I was like, are you?
I think he meant icon as the unaware, not the character icon, but you know.
He knows what I meant, and I know what he means. How do you have the powers of Superman right.
during chattel slavery and be like, nothing I can do.
Yep, yeah. Yeah.
It's legal.
Yep. So there you go.
I think like, that's a discussion for another day.
This is why I picked this comic, though, because it opens up a can of worms and then has a herd of horses run through them. It's just, it gets deep, and it's a hard thing to contemplate. What do you do if you have no other choice, right? Because in one way, Manchester Black is right. In the other way, Superman is right. But it's going to depend on the situation. And because he's Superman and because he has all the knowledge, like Kassan was pointing towards, like Superman, if Superman came across Zod, this Superman came across Zod, he has a million different ways to control Zod. So he doesn't have to kill him. He can put him in the Phantom Zone. He could give him a nice pinstripe suit of kryptonite. It's like the whole, do whatever he wants. What if he didn't have all that, though?
Yeah. Yep.
Audie Murphy's example. I'm not familiar with that one. Hard to live up to Audie Murphy's example.
I'm not sure what he means either. Who is Audie Murphy, Thrawn? You have to let us know.
Looking it up.
We're old and stupid. Me and John are.
I'm just stupid.
Randy's still young. You're young and inexperienced. That's it.
There it is. That's what I tell him in bed.
No, I think I've heard of this guy. Yeah, okay. One of the most decorated World War II American soldiers in history.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's a hero, an example of something to look up to. Okay.
Yeah. I'm sure he murdered hundreds of...
He was a World War II American hero. Oh, yeah. There you go. No, exactly. All right. I think we've beaten this topic to death. Of course, this conversation will never end. So if you're watching this after the fact, or even if you're watching it now, let us know what you think about the relevancy of Superman. Oh, wait. Stan's got one more comment. The readers not want a Superman that faces challenges he can't overcome. He has to have options open that allow him to win without breaking his ideas.
Some readers like that. Some readers like to see the Sword of Damocles, the Gordian knot, the no-win situation, the Kobayashi Maru, right?
Yeah. I'm not one of them.
Yeah, we like our heroes to prevail.
Even in the first, the Richard Donner one, his dad dies of a heart attack. It's a problem he cannot solve. Even with the powers of Superman.
And he learns from it.
It's a humbling moment.
There's the story of Sam, where Sam dies in the comic. And Sam was one of his best friends growing up through Smallville. And Sam's the only one who knows that Clark is Superman. And he dies from a childhood cancer. There's nothing Clark can do about it. There are problems that Superman cannot solve. And it teaches us that there are problems that we just can't solve.
Thank you, Thrawn.
Before you finish off, Dave, I just want to say, if you want to read issue 775, what's the problem with Truth, Justice, and the
what's
American
so
Way?
What's so funny about
what's truth, so funny about the yeah? What's so funny about Truth, Justice, and the American Way? That you can find it for $2 or $3 on Amazon. You can buy the issue and read it on Kindle.
I couldn't get it on Kindle.
I got it on Kindle.
Oh, I ended up getting it on the DC app.
Okay, so you can get it on DC app too.
Do what you want because the pirate is free.
Or you can go the Oda or the Oda way, the One Piece way, and pirate. There's.
I'll drink my last sip of rum to that.
There you go.
Also, the animated version, Superman versus the Elite, is on Amazon. You can rent it. Personally, again, renting it is perfectly fine. Don't buy it. If you're going to buy it, buy the Blu-ray.
Season 4 of Supergirl talks about this because. That's where Supergirl meets Manchester Black and the Elite. They did a whole season of those guys.
But
no one watches Supergirl, so fine.
Right. Supergirl could snap the neck of a power line. She has the options.
All right. Let's wrap this one and let's bring it in for a landing. Let's go around. And what did you learn on the podcast this week? Or do you have any recommendations? And of course, Randy, you can go first. And of course, tell us where we can find Colt 45.
Sure. I am Random Randy Savage. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Colt45 Podcast. Subscribe to our Twitch, TikTok, and YouTube for that video content. We're on all the major podcasting apps. That is Spotify, Apple Podcasts. I think Google Play got merged into YouTube Music now, so don't have to worry anymore. Good Pods, Podly Fans. But you go to Podbean where they love us, and if you want more of us, in your ear, pussies. Come down to patreon.com/cult45podcast. For an extra dollar, you can get an extra episode like Dune Part 2, The Fireworks Factory.
Nice. I think you've told me everything I need to know about that movie.
Yeah.
Just with the title.
That's what I'm going to recommend, guys. If you haven't seen it, go watch it in the biggest screen you can, because that's fun.
All right. John, did you learn anything this week, or do you have a recommendation?
I learned that you need to get a fiduciary financial advisor who is a fiduciary to start working on your 401k so that you're not in my position when you get to my age. You want to have enough money to retire on. Also, and this is weird. I haven't seen it myself, but I've heard good things about it, and I've got it queued up. I'm going to watch it tomorrow. There's on Netflix, there's a new show, a new movie that just came out, Damsel.
Ooh, yeah. Billy Barbara Brown.
Yeah. And it's about a woman who's sacrificed for the good of the city.
Awesome. Live action Avatar on Netflix.
And how she takes on a dragon or something like that. I've heard really good things about it. So that's my recommendation, even though I haven't seen it myself yet, but I will be watching it tomorrow. And that's on Netflix.
All right. I learned that there are people in this world that you can rely on when you need them last minute to fill in, that they'll even go and read a comic book in under a half hour to make sure that it can be informed on the topic you're going to discuss. So again, thanks, Randy, for filling in. You're one of the best guys.
We're the real Superman.
Yes, exactly. I will also recommend that if you haven't done so yet, please click that subscribe button. Click that bell for notifications when you don't miss us when we go live here on YouTube Sunday nights at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And make sure you check out superheroespeak.com, where you can find all our podcasts, links to all our social media at the top of the page, comic book reviews by our good friend Chris, and so much more. And yeah, as actual recommendations, I got nothing this week. I'm not even sure what we're going to be talking about next week yet. So it'll be a surprise. Maybe John will suggest another comic. We don't know. Maybe JD will return. We're keeping our fingers crossed. So
Avatar, The Last Airbender, live action on Netflix. Have you seen it?
I did. It's not the movie, but...
On that note, as always, thanks for watching. Don't let your cape caught in the door. Have a good week.